is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And boy, oh boy, do you want to know the story behind this book today? I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Almar, and the name of her book is The Family Bones. And this is one scary book. Hi, Al.
Hi, Patsy. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, I'm happy you're not off going in labor.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what
exactly.
Last time.
Yeah, I still looked forward to speaking with you, and then I went into labor delivering my second child. You know, sometimes those agendas don't line up with book publishing. I don't know.
I know. You know. Babies aren't supposed to arrive on release date. You know, a release date is big enough as it is without a baby.
Exactly. I knew it would be close, and by God, it was.
It was. But it's so wonderful to talk to you. I don't know.
Thank you again for having me.
Well, I think your writing is terrific. I don't know if people can appreciate that of all the genres, you know, we have cozy mysteries, we have mysteries, we have thrillers, but there's nothing really quite as difficult to write as a suspense thriller, because
you have to
be on your game with that. It's not easy. You know, with cozy mysteries, the writers can sprinkle around Easter eggs along the way, and the readers have fun, you know, trying to, you know, remember things. Does it matter that the girl wore a yellow scarf? So there's those are relatively, you know, they're fun, but it's not what you have to do. And you.
I love cozy mysteries, but you're absolutely right. There's a different underlying element to suspense thrillers that that takes some plotting. For me, some people I'm sure are able to just pull it out of a hat, but I have to be very meticulous in how I lay my breadcrumbs.
Oh yeah, I mean you do, and you are absolutely one of the best at it, and that's why I was so happy to see that Publishers Weekly gave you that coveted starred review, and they call it a mesmerizing, I love that word, a mesmerizing psychological thriller.
Yes, thank you so much. I loved that review. I was so pleased to see the starred review, and it was so nice to have that industry recognition, because I truly love this book, and it was so much fun to write while pregnant, as it happened.
And it's really... You know, you're so sweet. You're such a sweet girl.
Oh, thank you.
But you've got such a wicked mind.
That's what I want. I want the juxtaposition. I want nice up front, wicked in the back.
You got it. You got it, Gail. Oh, wow. Say about a thriller, a suspense thriller. You don't want to give anything away. Your spiel, what you want to tell people, but then we're going to leave them hanging, and they have to get this book and find out. And have a very, let's say, especially if they're reading it at night, have a nice blanket around your shoulders so you can sort of snuggle in you shiver.
Yeah. Well, that's a high compliment. I hope that readers do shiver and that they do cozy up with a nightlight afterward. It's The Family Bones is a locked room thriller set in the mountains of Eastern Oregon, where a family reunion among psychopaths goes horribly wrong, as they are wont to do, right? And then you throw in my true crime podcaster, Bertie Tan, who obsesses over cold cases that the media miss, and I'm hoping that it creates a compelling read for readers.
Oh, it's compelling, all right. And I'm glad you mentioned Bertie right up front, because she's one heck of a good character.
Oh, thank you. I really, out of all the characters that I write, sometimes people ask me who would I actually hang out with, who would I grab a drink with, or, you know, have a book club with, and it would be Bertie off the bat. I love her.
Well, thank you. Agree. I would love to have a drink with her.
She's got stories.
She's got stories.
She's a true crime podcaster. And she sees all kinds of stuff and pursues all kinds of information.
And I must say, as I got into her character, I thought to myself, I don't know, is somebody planning a series? Because you could bring her back for a lot of, she's, as you said, she's got a lot of stories to tell.
She does. Prequels and sequels, I think she would have a lot to work with.
So now we're here in this reunion. I'm just thinking back to our only really big family reunion a number of years ago. We have sort of a county in northern Michigan where everybody's a cousin. So it was like, it wasn't just a family reunion. It was like the entire county got together.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
We didn't have anything quite as exciting as in this book, thank goodness.
Thank goodness. That's great. That's how they should go.
Exactly. So what do you want to tell about, how much do you want to give away? People, you have to read this book.
Yes, people, please read this book. I will just wet a little whistle, a few whistles here and there. It's a family reunion among psychopaths. However, that's not to say that everyone there is some kind of caricature. This book is really something that I tried to, a theme throughout my books is mental health, and it touches, my books often touch on that subject. And others, like The Family Bones, spend a little bit more time with it. This is particularly about psychology, in that one of my main characters, Olivia Erickson, is a psychology doctoral candidate. And so she comes from a long line of the Erickson's, a family that exhibits hallmarks of antisocial personality disorder. That's the umbrella above psychology, or psychopathy, the umbrella above sociopathy. And so these are traits and conditions that tend to run in her family, but that's not to say that everyone is neurodivergent. Many of them are, quote unquote, normal people out in society, neighbors, volunteers at animal shelters, they're regular people. However, there is some capacity for something else lurking in their genes. And that's what a lot of this book is about, questioning, is it nature or is it nurture that's more important? And I would be curious to see what readers think the answer is at the end of this, or if the book did change their mind at all, that's fine as well. But there's a lot of fun little psychology tidbits from this graduate student Olivia's perspective on the rest of her family.
So, well, I found her fascinating too, and just when you think about it, she knew what she was getting into. In one way, yes. when you accept that invitation to the family reunion, you know you're in for more than strawberry shortcake.
Well put. Exactly. More than just a yearbook that you sign afterwards.
And she's got a new love in her life. And
absolutely.
So for him, he's got to experience it too.
Yeah, he's kicking the tires pretty hard on whether or not he wants to join this family. Her fiance, Howard, truly is dying to meet his future in-laws, and Olivia has held him at bay regarding meeting them, and so she views this opportunity to reunite with her family at this mountain resort as the next step in their relationship, and certainly one that he has been asking for, and she loves them. She is her family for all intents and purposes. He is the person that she goes to with her emotional needs and for, Chinese takeout together. And they are all that the other person needs. However, she recognizes that, Howard wants to know what he is, where she comes from exactly, without any judgment, because he knows of her family's background. But he wants to know the whole picture of his fiance, whom he loves dearly, and in his mind, nothing would ever change that. So it's really about, for him, further cementing their relationship, which I think adds an emotional stake to the whole scenario.
Oh, definitely. I love when you said he was dying to meet them. that's a good choice of words. Okay. Sometimes maybe you shouldn't be dying to meet people so much.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you should step back and check out some Googling first.
Yeah. Might be a good idea, but so you had fun building up the story. Well, first of all, the backstories are so twisty and so turny. So
thank you.
Yeah, it's just great. But on the other hand, you also have to, you know, just put a feel for the location. Tell us where they are, and then why they get stuck there.
Absolutely. And I, speaking of backstory, something else that the readers might not be aware of, or sorry, listeners might not be aware of at first, the Family Bones has a different kind of storytelling structure, and that I include newspaper articles about various members of the Erickson family, if they made the news, if they did something that was newsworthy, criminal or otherwise. And so there is a lot of backstory to try and inform the reader as they go through of who they're talking with or who they're watching and what they're observing as the story unfolds. And they are set, the mountain resort retreat is set in Eastern Oregon, actually in a real national preserve, the Malheur Forest, which actually means unfortunate or bad luck in French. Which I thought was pretty fun. I was just looking on Google Maps to figure out where exactly this family reunion should be set, or what I should be inspired by. And I found the Malheur Forest and thought, well, that is just too perfect.
Well, yeah, I mean, for somebody who went to the Sorbonne and studied and, you know, studied in Paris, I guess that that grabbed you right away.
Yeah, I couldn't resist. I absolutely couldn't resist. And I thought it was a fun little Easter egg that in French it does mean bad luck. Poor bad luck just to go to that family reunion in this exact spot. So an atmospheric river rolls in, as I think many of us across the country are familiar with that term these days, an atmospheric river rolls in, kind of a massive storm that shut down the roads, caused mudslides in the area. Oregon is now subject to a lot of changes in its climate patterns. And so there are a lot more mudslides and forest fires that create, of course, more mudslides thereafter. And so everything kind of comes together in this, quote, perfect storm, actual storm, to isolate the family reunion at this mountain resort. So the family is with the resort staff. They try to go about their business, but of course, with the inclement weather, and the tensions that begin to rise being all shut in together, it becomes a locked room thriller where we don't really know what's going to happen among all of these interesting personalities.
A little homage to Agatha Christie.
Absolutely. I mean, everything's an homage to Agatha Christie, right? Everything should be.
And, well, as they get knocked off... this book is it really, you have so many levels to it, and I do love the having the news stories, and also, you know, I like that kind of thing tucked into a book. It for me, it's it makes it very vivid.
Oh, thank you. That's so wonderful to hear. Thank you.
Yeah,
my intent.
Yeah, that was a good device. You in you know, a few quick little stories, you tell a lot. You know, like, you pack a punch, just like a newspaper article does. Who, what, when, and where, and you got it. And so that really sets the tone, I think, for the book. And I enjoyed that.
Oh, thank you. That's so great to hear. I felt the same way. And not to toot my own horn, but across like other books that I read, I just love when I'm reading a book, I just love to dive into that world and then to learn as many layers of that world as possible. It just becomes so much more vivid and so much more like a, what's the word? Just like a vision transferred from the author into the reader's mind, myself as the reader. And I love imparting that kind of mental telepathy, to my readers. And I certainly hope that I achieve that effect.
Well, I think you do, and that's why I say that it will give you some shivers, and but it keeps people turning the pages. Some of it is, well, I can't give it away. I mean, that's a problem. That's a problem.
It's sort of, it is a thriller.
It is a thriller. You got to read it. It's sort of like, you know, what was it? Missing Sister. I couldn't say what was happening in the beginning. I wanted people to read it to just find out what was going to happen.
Yes, yes.
And of course,
I agree.
I love that one because it was set in Paris, which you know so well.
Absolutely. Yeah, my debut, The Missing Sister, was, speaking of homages, was definitely an homage to Paris. It was a love letter to, you know, one of my favorite cities in the world. And I continue to hope that readers walk away from that book with the sense that I do love that city and all of its beautiful, sparkling icons, as well as some of the darker, seedier locales.
I know, but everything about Paris, I used to go there probably every other weekend when I lived in England. Now, of course, that was before your time. You're younger. You don't remember the American Express office, do you?
I do not.
Well, in my days, we had to go to the American Express office to make telephone calls to America.
Oh yes.
And we would have to wait, and we would have to. There would be a booth, and it's so funny when I think about it now that when I get to Paris and I want to call my dad in America, I would have to go and I'd have to, make arrangements for a time, and I'd have to wait by the booth until the call came through.
That's so interesting. So, I did not know about the American Express office.
Oh, everything. Well, that's where we would get our mail, would be sent to the American Express office, because that's what they did for us. It was absolutely beautiful.
Absolutely. And I feel like there's a story there.
Huh?
I feel like there's a book waiting to be coming to come out of this experience.
Oh yes, it was wonderful. And I spent a lot of time there. Well, of course my husband and I probably stayed in fancier hotels than you as a student did.
I'm sure.
We used to do the Maurice quite often. But it was wonderful time that I spent in Paris, and I loved when you were writing about it and how you took me there. It was I found a lot of joy in reading that. You know, although it was a thriller and a mystery and everything, suspense, the Paris part was so important to the book.
Oh, that is the highest compliment. Whenever any reader that has been to Paris and reads The Missing Sister and says that the setting brought back memories to them, that is the highest form of praise for me, and truly across my settings, but particularly in Paris. So thank you for that. That's such a nice compliment.
And I always wanted to ask you, how did you land up going there? How lucky was that, or planned, or fortuitous, or what?
Definitely fortuitous. I had a quarter-life crisis when I was 25, and I decided I wanted to move to France. And so I just found a teaching job that then led to another teaching job that then led to me saying, you know what, I'd actually like to deepen my understanding of the French language and culture and also my education. And so I applied to the Sorbonne. I had to take a test to prove that I could speak French fluently and also study in French fluently and write and all of that. So I had to take a test, a couple of tests, and then I was accepted to the Sorbonne. So it was fortuitous on so many levels. But it happened after about 3 years of living there. So it was a kind of the culmination of a few different dreams.
Well, it paid off. It paid off in that book, and I'm sure it's going to pay off in a thing, and it even paid off in finding the perfect location for this strange family. And as I said, it is a perfect location. It's funny, where I'm from, in Copper Country in Michigan, we have a place called Misery Bay. And that's where we used to go for picnics. But we didn't hold a family reunion. We didn't hold a family reunion there, luckily, because maybe we would have landed up with a few bodies. Not that we had. We did
that's
have
a fantastic contrast.
Exactly. Well, you are a fantastic writer, and I just get such a kick out of a writer who has found this passion and this ability to really, when you said you want people to see it, I of course saw it the way I always see a book that I love. I see it in my head. I as a film for me, as I'm reading, sometimes I forget, and which is actually scary in your case, because if I forget and I start thinking it's real, and every creak in the house, every door.
Yes.
that gets a little intense.
Yeah, again, very high praise. It's not something I take pride in exactly, but it is a huge compliment that people think about the writing. And then maybe when the lights are off, the certain images come back, because that's how I feel about certain books. And that's when I know I've read something good. So thank you for sharing that. And I'm sorry.
No. Sometimes we need that. It's better. Let's put it this way. If I have a choice at 11 o'clock at night to be reading your book or watching the news, I will take your book anytime, because yes. The news is so much worse.
Yeah, there's a conclusion to my stories usually.
Exactly.
It ends.
Exactly. And some people are just dying to read it. So.
Well, I hope so. I would be very honored.
Okay. So where can people find out more about you, your website, your social media do you like to do, et cetera, et cetera?
Absolutely. I am across all social media platforms, or most of them, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm very active on Instagram. And then also on TikTok for anyone else who's discovering that platform, as I did a couple of years ago. And then at elmar.com, my website, elmar.com, has all the information and all the links that you could possibly want.
Well, I think you're fantastic, Elle. I really do. And I'm so happy. What did you finally name the baby? I never heard.
Ivy. Her name is Ivy.
Oh, I love that name. That is so cool. Yeah. I love that name. As a matter of fact, I was going to tell you, I like the name Olivia, too, for the main character in this book.
I love the name Olivia. And every time I name a character, I think, Is this my character's name, or is this the name I want for my future child?
Well, I'm glad that you didn't go into labor today. Although maybe you're going to start birthing a new birdie book. Are you working on a new book?
Oh,
I'm sure.
My goodness, I am. I absolutely am. Thank you. I actually just finished writing my manuscript, and I sent it off to my editor. It's called The Alone Time. The Alone Time. And it's a plane crash thriller, kind of like Yellow Jackets, which meets Karen Slaughter's Pretty Girls. And that's coming out in spring 2024.
And you'll be right back here then.
I hope so. I hope to be invited back, Patsy.
Oh, you're invited back anytime you want. As a matter of fact, you can just come on the program just for the heck of it and talk about writing, because actually you could give a lot of information to all of those people that I talk about at the beginning of the program who are dreaming of writing. They have to, if they're dreaming of writing suspense books, you should come on the program and give my listeners some hints. How about that?
Oh, I would love that.
Okay, but I'm going to make sure you're not going to go into labor. Okay.
Yeah, we'll coordinate.
Okay. Great talking to you, Elle.
Thanks so much, Patsy.
Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I like her so much. She's so sweet. Bye-bye.